48 hours. These are the most critical moments to find you in the event of an emergency. Waiting for the legal process to access data to your last whereabouts can take weeks when you only have a matter of minutes or hours. With Help You Find Me, you have your own secure and encrypted If I Go Missing file that can give your most trusted people access to information much sooner than the authorities can get it. Each person you share it with has their own access rules and everything is completely encrypted. Not even Help You Find Me can access it. You can also update your location, submit photos and screenshots like of your latest Uber ride or the license plate of a bus you're traveling on. It's as easy as texting with a friend, but it can also be a total lifesaver. Find out more at helpyoufind.me/adventure calls and get a 10% discount when you sign up. That's helpyoufind.me/adventure calls.
It's easy to see how travel can become an addiction. The feeling, the buzz in your body, that buzz running through your veins is calm. It's a refreshing sense of wonder and discovery. And it's completely divorced from a reality that awaits you back home. It doesn't have to be a rush of adrenaline. It can be a quiet, light buzz like the one you have right now today as you walk through Denmark's second city called Aarhus. When you're here in this tiny city, you feel like you're not only in Denmark, but you're in Scandinavia. You're far north. No matter how small the city is, it feels modern, forward-thinking, incredibly clean. In some ways, it feels like the future, or at least some idealized version of now. In Aarhus, there are Michelin-starred restaurants, art museums, even an incredibly picturesque infinite bridge. It's a student city, laid back. Unlike the capital city of Copenhagen, where thousands of tourists are out and about on the streets, here in Aarhus you feel like an insider, like you're in the know. And you realize, after watching the patterns of life here, that people seem to have it pretty good. It feels like the Danes have really figured out this whole life thing. In Denmark, people work 8 to 4. They have a 38-hour work week, max. The streets are clean. You're surrounded by superior design. Can I live here, you wonder? You decide to sit down in a cafe and connect to the Wi-Fi. You open up Zillow. How much is it to rent an apartment, you wonder? Could I rent an apartment? Could I rent a house? Could I buy a house here? There's just really no cons, at least not at first. See, you read about how education is free. Parents receive a child allowance up to the age of 18. There are incredible maternity benefits. There are extensive and well-maintained roads and bike lanes. Tons of pristine parks and public spaces. The lifestyle in Denmark is very much focused on the human beings living there, with an emphasis on culture, education, and social programs. In terms of work-life balance, Denmark ranks number one. The Danes are truly satisfied with their way of life. The expats who live there, on the other hand, well, that's a little bit trickier. An associate professor at the Danish VIA University, Anatoly Kantier, undertook an interesting analysis of expat data and discovered that while expats love their work-life balance and sense of security, there's something called the Ease of Settling In Index, and Denmark ranks in the bottom 10 for feeling at home, friendliness, and finding friends. In fact, Denmark is the worst-rated destination for making local friends. 66% of expats report finding it very difficult. This is one of the major challenges that we talk about with my guest today, Kate Dahl. See, an overwhelmingly high percentage of expats express that they enjoy their life in Denmark. In fact, 86% said so when surveyed in 2020. And so many find Denmark to be a better place to live than their home country. Denmark is really the ultimate expat catch-22. You can move there, and you might love your life there. Yet you might find fitting in, befriending locals, and feeling accepted to be a major challenge that forces you to stay in an international bubble of sorts. And that is if you're even able to find a job. It's very difficult to find work in Denmark as an expat, and that's one of the things we talk about on today's episode. We learn about how my guest, Kate Dahl, went from living in a small town in Michigan to living permanently in Europe. As a kid, Kate never felt like she fit in. When her high school hosted study abroad students from Germany and Denmark, her entire perception of the world and her place in it changed. She ended up living in Germany and almost in China before moving to Denmark for love. She's now a wife, a mom, and a career coach living in Aarhus, Denmark. Keep listening to learn about how she made a life, and we talk all about the ups and downs of life in Denmark. You're listening to Adventure Calls.
Okay, Kate, thank you so much for joining me today. Thanks for taking my call.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
So where am I calling you from right now? Where are you based?
I am based in Aarhus, Denmark. For those of you who don't know, like, where is Aarhus? Where is Denmark? Well, Denmark is a country, small little country, size of Maryland, that's above Germany. And Aarhus is the second biggest city in Denmark.
And how did you end up in the second biggest city in Denmark? Is that the first place you moved to in Denmark? We're going to go through quite a lot of your backstory, because I know Denmark is not the first place that you lived. But how did you end up in Denmark's second largest city?
Love makes you do things like go to Aarhus. So, no, but that's really it. Like, I met the love of my life, we met through a mutual friend, and that mutual friend was an exchange student at my high school over 13 years ago, which is absolutely insane, who I'm very close with. And I was studying in Flensburg, Germany at the time. And so literally, like, Flensburg is a border city. So it's the last city in Germany before you get to Denmark. And really, it's just like a train shot, you know, two hour train ride there. And I was invited to this party called Feste Laune. Feste Laune is it's a festival in Denmark where if you take the Mexican fiesta with American Halloween, you put it together and you have something called Feste Laune, where you dress up in costumes and so on. And so where you bang on a barrel and candy comes out, and it actually comes from banging instead of like banging to get the cat out of the barrel, but no one does that anymore because that's animal torture. You know, but it's really in Denmark an excuse to drink and to party and to wear a costume, really. So I went there to my friend's party, and that's where I met my now husband, and the long story short, really, and we fell hard. That was 9 years ago. That led to moving to Aarhus, getting married and having a baby.
Yeah, that's what happens. So where are you from originally? You're from the U.S.
I am from a small village in Michigan. I like to say Detroit because it sounds more badass, but that's not really the truth. I come from a very small town called KPAC, it's by Port Huron, for anyone that knows where Port Huron, Michigan is. And yeah, I really come from this small town, middle of nowhere.
And were people in your life the kind of people who traveled? Did you have influence from international visitors in your small town?
Nope, not really. Like, I really didn't have that exposure for a long time, not until high school. There was just nothing. I was really only interested in Europe because of my ancestry, like, genuinely. My grandmother was first generation German born in America. My grandfather was first generation Polish born in America. So yeah, and that was my great grandparents came over. So that's why I like to make the joke and say that I'm Prussian, because that was from the time era that they came from, right? And then it was really until later when I was in high school that there was finally two exchange students that changed my life. And one was a Dane and one was a German. And funny enough, I ended up living in both countries at one point in my life. And when I talked to them, it was somehow magical in a way, because they were the first people I felt like who I could talk to and relate to, because I really felt like I really felt like someone who didn't belong. I kind of went with the flow because that was what the majority believed in. And I was always told that I had to think a certain way. I had to act a certain way. I had to be a certain way. And so I never really felt in, and I never felt quite what right to be in the environment that I was in. And then when I met these exchange students and I told them about my ideas of the world, they were like, yeah, well, we agree with you. And I was like, what? Really? It's okay? It's okay to think this way? They're like, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. Like, oh, that's cool, you know? And yeah, and that really just kind of influenced my way into, yeah, like living in Europe. It paved its way.
How have you established yourself now in Denmark? So I understand you're married, which is obviously one way that you're able to stay in Denmark with a very favorable visa, probably. But how have you made your mark in Denmark? So like, what do you do now for a living that you're able to be a professional in Denmark?
Yeah, so I just do want to make a clarification because the thing is just because I'm married to a Dane does not make my situation easier or favorable. A lot of people make that assumption. It would have been so much easier for me to have married a German and stayed in Germany. Then it would have been favorable for me. And it is like that in most countries. But Denmark is one of the only countries that doesn't have that. And there's a lot of the assumptions that are made about that. So we can definitely have that conversation about that. So it is very tough to be here, first of all. Even if you're a non-EU citizen and being married, it is bloody hell. What I do now is I teach internationals how to communicate their value to Danish companies in a Danish cultural context. And basically how I ended up being a career consultant and giving career counseling guidance for internationals who are living here in Denmark, and also those who are interested in coming from the outside to Denmark. It really just came from my experiences. So when I fell in love, I never imagined that I would ever move to Denmark. My plan was always to move to Brussels. And to work at an NGO and make a difference in the world. And I was an English teacher in Germany. I was an English teacher for 4.5 years, actually, teaching children English. And I taught at the Flensburg prison. I taught prison guards English so they can communicate to the internationals, or what we also are known as foreigners, so that then they can communicate with prison guards and so on. So that was one of the more interesting positions that I've had as well. And then a friend of mine suggested that I apply for a job in China to become an English teacher. And I actually got the position and I was stoked, and I got a very, very lucrative salary. So when I told my boyfriend, then now husband, that, you know, I'm considering to take this position in China, he invited me to move in with him and to come to Denmark. And that was a really hard decision, because I knew that when I would move to Denmark, that, yeah, I would have to look for a new job. Like, I knew that I had to do something, because I didn't want to, like, just sit there and twaddle my thumbs. I wanted to, you know, participate in our relationship financially, right? And so I remember one of the things I did was I made a list of, like, pros and cons of what I'm going to do. And then after thinking about it for some days, I remember just writing at the bottom what would make me happy. And then I realized the list didn't matter. Not at all. And then that made my decision go to Denmark. And then I thought, okay, now what? Now I'm going to go to Denmark. What am I going to do? And so then I start to analyze the market. I start to look at what are the needs, what are the niche, what are my strengths and weaknesses, what can I do to contribute, and what would be the best fit for me. Long story short, I went into sales. I got a job within a few weeks, and that one thing led to another, and I basically ended up with 5 positions or more within a 4.5 year time span. And I've worked in the sales startup industry. So it's a very volatile industry, especially in sales. And a lot of people pushed for me to become a career consultant, because in Denmark, it's very, very bloody difficult to get a job if you yeah, don't speak fluent Danish, but I was able to get positions without being fluent in Danish. And so a lot of people would ask me, what is your secret? What do you do? And I know, like, even a lot of Americans who were very highly educated, who are here with their spouses, they couldn't get anything at all, you know? And so, and they were asking me, like, what's your secret? Like, why are you so good at what you do? And then I was like, you know what? I have the experience. I might as well do this as a living. And that's where I ended up today. I think just people need someone like me more than ever, because yeah, there's a Danish way. I mean, if a Dane were to tell you, this is how you do things. But if you're an international who says, hey, I get you, I understand what you're going through, and I've done it many times, if I can do it this many times, you can do it once, you know? So I teach my methods, because a lot of these methods are not being taught to internationals. And so, and that's why I do what I do now. So that's a very long story.
Is there a large expat community in Denmark?
Oh, yes.
And what's the type of expats who live there? I mean, because a lot, you know, different countries have different sort of like types of people who are attracted to Denmark. Now, are you dealing with a lot of spouses who are looking for work, or are people moving straight from the U.S. independently to find work in Denmark?
Most of my students are spouses who are coming with their spouse. Their spouse already has a position and has been offered a contract, and they move in with them. Like today, you can't just go and say, oh, I'm going to fly to Denmark and look for a job. You can't do that. You have to literally be in the country of your residence and look for something. That's how it is now, unless you're an EU citizen. If you're an EU citizen, you can come to Denmark, no problem. But if you're a non-EU citizen, that's like a whole other ball game and ballpark and another story in general for that. And the second one is students who have been or have felt that they have been let down by their university and academy and have not been able to land internships for their studies, because in Denmark, you need, as part of your studies, you need to do an internship, and they're not able to get anything. And they're told that they're supposed to have an internship. They don't feel that they can rely on the Career Center service to help them. So then they hire a professional like myself, which is absolutely insane, in my opinion. And then the other type is newly graduate students, international graduates. And the other one would be those who are interested in coming to Denmark. And that's becoming more and more, because I think a lot of the, especially like with Americans, they know of Denmark partly because of Bernie Sanders. If you know, from like a few years ago, Bernie Sanders was very much comparing Denmark to, you know, to how the United States should be in regarding the welfare state, et cetera. And actually all the things he says is true. No one needs to pay for going to the doctor or to the hospital or to, you know, or to, let's say also maternity and paternity leave. So I've had maternity for 8 months. My husband is now on, he has 3 months of paternity leave. There's something also called an unemployment insurance system. So I have paid into. And so that helps me to be able to have a business and to see if my business works out. And so that I paid into when I was employed. And so I paid for that, and that's good for so many years. And when you have your business, you can get paid out by your insurance and to help you get started to have a business for so many months. So, but that's what the unemployment insurance can do, is like when you are employed for like a year, and if you do become unemployed, you get some money to help you sustain yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, so anything that I have made into my company becomes capital so I can invest in other people and hire people. Denmark is always about trust and trusting in society and trusting the good of people. And that's like such an interesting cultural aspect in itself. But those are the great things that I love about Denmark, is the opportunities that present itself. And very recently, I've been talking to more, for example, Americans and Brits and a lot of more people from non-EU countries who have done their research and really dream of, you know, coming to Denmark. And I think that's great, because, of course, there are a lot of great positive things to have a good life here. But I always tell them that as long as you have done your research and you know like, yeah, you can have a good life here, but you need to work hard to stay here and to be here. You need to continually to network. You need, because, you know, once you lose your job, yes, you might be have the right for having an unemployment insurance, maybe. You're going to have to keep networking. You have to keep doing things. You have to keep, you know, because networking is everything here in Denmark, like as it is anywhere. But I think Denmark is much more integral part of the culture that you need to network to continue to have a job in Denmark.
Let's talk a little bit about that. So what are like maybe your top two or three pieces of advice that you give out based on the work that you do about finding and sustaining work in Denmark?
Yes. If you're an American currently living in the United States and you love this idea with Bernie Sanders and everything, do your research on the market and whether your background is what is in need of that market, because there is something in Denmark called the positive list. And the positive list is literally a list from the Danish government that tells or says, look, these are the areas that we need desperately for labor, and we are going to, because you're in this list, we will make it easier for you to, or get your visa process sponsored. Once the company has accepted you, because you can't just come to Denmark and be like, oh, I'm going to search for a job. You have to do it from the country of residence that you are in if you're not already haven't been offered a job.
Oh, right. So Denmark is not one of those countries that you can land in and find a job.
No, definitely not. You definitely need to apply from where you are if you're a non-EU citizen. If you're an EU citizen, then you have no issues. But if you're an American who doesn't have that other EU passport or a non-dual citizen, then you have then you can't just do that. So you have to really want to be here and do the research and find out is my field in demand.
So what are some of the fields that are in demand? What are just a few examples of the positive list?
Yeah, so IT, engineering, bricklayer, welder, it can really vary. The government updates the list. Generally, IT and engineering has always been there. And sometimes sales as well, like international key account manager. And they've recently changed where the list, where you have two types of lists, where you're called highly educated and skilled work. So depending on that, do I have a university education or not? And if you don't have a university education, then you would be under the skilled work. So you can even be like a bricklayer. And come to Denmark as long as you have found an employer that says we will pay you enough money to be able to come to Denmark based on that on the salary. And that's another. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't advise people legally on that. But if you just go to New in Denmark, that would be my first tip. Also, the next tip is to when you're networking, do it on LinkedIn. LinkedIn is a crucial part of getting a job in Denmark. Like more than 67% of the Danish population use LinkedIn. So it's a huge part. So you need to have a very updated LinkedIn profile. Get it sharp, because first impressions are everything. So you need to get that really sharp, really good, and then start networking via LinkedIn.
How do you even do that? And that's just something I don't think I even know. I mean, I know how I network on LinkedIn, but I do it for different reasons. How do you job search network on LinkedIn?
That's really, really interesting. So I do a whole session on that, but to give a few tips.
I'm sure you do have a paid course on something like that. Yes.
But one of the ways you can is to find relevant groups on LinkedIn. Yes, you can do that and use keywords, but it's also about finding people or keywords in your field. And the other thing about, and how you can go about doing that is interesting, because one of my students was also trying to do it on his own and couldn't, and he was afraid because he's like, well, can I talk to a CEO? Can I talk to a CTO? Who can I talk to? Am I allowed to talk to someone who's above, who would be my boss? I'm like, oh yeah, absolutely. Because in Denmark, it's a flat hierarchy. For example, a CEO would never look down upon a janitor. Like they would be equals or are considered equals. And if you're a marketing manager and you want to talk to an idea to your CMO, you can do that. That is not something where there is this boundary or whatever. Like it's very, very open, and they don't feel that they are above or below you, because there's this culture called, or this philosophy that's very ingrained in Danish culture called law of Jente or Jente law. And it's been since the 50s where you have to be humble, you can't boast or you can't brag, and you can't think above anyone else. And I think that's why you in Denmark, there's a very ingrained culture about equality and being equal, and that to help everyone when you can. So you can do the research on like different companies that you're interested in, put in the keyword of the job title, let's say you're open to or feel comfortable with talking to a CMO, and then you would put CMO, let's say Pandora, Denmark, for example. And then you put that in and then find who that is. And then you just simply you don't only connect with them, but you write a note to them. Be direct. Like, I know, like, in American culture, you kind of, like, hint at things and you're, like, friendly and so on. But in Denmark, you just need to get straight to the point and say, hi, I'm writing to you because I'm interested in Pandora, and I find it really interesting, and I'm interested in moving to Denmark. However, I just want to talk to you to make sure that this is the right company fit for me. Would you be open to meet online to talk? And looking forward to talk about your experiences. Looking forward to hearing back from you soon. So you have to, like, because networking is all about knowledge and trying to get knowledge in to help you with your application or whatever. So you have to do something like this to kind of, like, you know, think of it like Game of Thrones, right? Game of Thrones is about making allies. And it's the same in Denmark, that when you need to, when you're networking, you just need to simply, you know, make your allies in different companies. And so, and then you build your army, basically. And then you can go to war and start putting in your application. So
I like that. Yeah.
No, that's really good to know, because just the fact that you could reach out on LinkedIn in those ways, because I don't think that in the U.S., for example, it's exactly the same. I don't think you can reach out to a CMO. I think most CMOs don't even kind of look at LinkedIn for most things like that and would ignore the message for sure. So that's really interesting. And it's like, look, it's hard to move to Denmark. You have to do it from your country of residence, whether that's the U.S. or anywhere else. But I guess the fact is that's the level playing field that all expats would have to go through. And that's just how it's done. And there are obviously expats living in Denmark who have successfully accomplished that. So it's just like kind of accepting the fact that this is what you have to do if Denmark is the country that you want to move to.
Exactly. You got to want it. You have to work hard for it. If you want a good life, there is no easy way around it. You just have to do it, and you have to, and it can take a while to do. But if you do it right and you play the long game, you can do it. It's not impossible, definitely.
Tell me a little bit about what are some of the Danish cultural quirks that threw you for a loop when you first moved to Denmark, and how did you sort of adapt to them? So, like, one of the things I love asking, for example, is like, what seems so weird when you first moved to Denmark, but now you're like, yeah, obviously, that's how you do things.
It's so funny because even though you've been in Denmark for so long, sometimes you don't pick up the quirks until much later. And I'll give you a really good example. Or I'll tell you a story with that quirk. So one of the things being an American that kind of set me back was going to go get my COVID test. I can go to a cafe, someone was lost and needed directions. And so I was like, yeah, like, you know, I'm actually going there too. We can actually go together. And I remember her eyes were going so big, and she didn't know what to do with that because, you know, as Americans, you would just do that and like make small talk with strangers right next to you. If you're going somewhere, you would just like just talk to them and go for it and just go. But I also come from like a small bumpkin town, right? So where I'm also was more used to that culture. But she was so weirded out, and it was so funny because I went to like the line, and then she ended up being ahead of me with the bike and just kind of like kept looking at me really strange. And another thing you do is like, you know, you don't talk to like your the person like next to you on the bus. If you make small chat, they would think like you're weird or like something's wrong with you, because it's more about privacy, and because it's a culture about respecting privacy, and that you don't like you respect someone's privacy and that you don't like set that boundaries. In the country, it's a bit different. In Denmark, in the countryside, they would be maybe a little bit more, accepting and having small talk, etc. And I have had those instances, but then I found out, oh, they're in the countryside, so it's fine, you know. And I think The other weird nuance for me is part of like socializing in Denmark is like the drinking. Like Denmark is really big in like the drinking culture, and that's how you make friends. Like that is the dating. Like maybe that's not like a weird quirk nuance, but it was something that was really hard for me to get used to in that way, like of how to make friends is like through that. But like when they say you're a friend, like they really mean it.
Yeah. You know? I find that the same. That was the same for me in Germany too. It was very lonely at first because it takes a long time for you to bond with people. And it does. And I think you have to be really prepared for a period of loneliness or a period where all of your friends are expats because of course they'll talk to you, but you know, people like local people won't. But then yes, when they are your friend, they are actually your friend. So small talk doesn't exist. And it's funny because the way they refer to it, it's like this foreign idea. Oh, small talk, you know, they don't even have a German word, really. They just have an English word because it's not a real thing.
Yeah.
One thing I'm thinking about now that we're both moms, if you can't make small talk on playgrounds, how do moms make friends, you know? Especially when you got all this parental leave, you've got 8 or 9 months out there on the playground, not going to work. How do you make friends?
You're put into mothers groups by your midwife.
Oh, actually. Of course.
And they will. Yes, there is. They have a plan and they will say, we have organized some ladies who I am putting all together, who I'm working with and who are all my, I don't know, like, patients, and then they put you in a group in that area, and then it's up to you to meet in the week and decide if you want to continue or not. And a lot of them do, actually. I just was unfortunate that my group never worked out because of the COVID, and then we didn't meet, and things got and became difficult. You know, so that's just how it is.
Yeah, that's too bad because of the pandemic. So basically, if you all have babies around the same time, you get put into groups.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
Is right, and it sounds great, and I would have really benefited from that, but you know, that's just how it is sometimes. COVID made things complicated.
Yes, COVID ruins everything, obviously. Well, thank you, this has been really insightful. I think, you know, Denmark is a country that I get asked about a lot, but it feels a lot more difficult, I think, than the idea of moving to like France or Spain or Portugal. And it seems like what you're saying is also true. You've got to work hard and really want it before you can move.
Exactly. You really do.
Okay, great. So where can people find you online and where can they reach out to you if they are interested in moving to Denmark?
Definitely. So LinkedIn, my LinkedIn profile, Kate Dahl, career consultant for internationals in Denmark, or just go to my pages on Career Denmark on LinkedIn or on my Facebook. I have content there all the time. Or just check out my website at careerdenmark.dk.
Perfect. Thank you. I should have already known that they should reach out on LinkedIn. I should have said that because if there's one takeaway from this interview, it's get on LinkedIn right now.
Exactly. If you want to come to Denmark, LinkedIn is your number one tool. Definitely. It will be your best friend.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you. Bye-bye, Jessica.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Adventure Calls. If you like what you heard, please hit follow or subscribe in whatever podcast app you're using to listen to this so you can get each new episode as they're released. If you want to support the show, honestly, the best thing you can do is head over to Apple Podcasts. That's where the majority of my listeners are. Head over to Apple Podcasts and give the show a rating and a review. The more 5-star ratings a podcast has, the more Apple's algorithm recommends it to future listeners. So thank you so much if you've already gone over and done that. And if you're thinking of a way that you want to support the show, that's the absolute best way I can think of. Now, if you're ready to take the leap, if you're inspired and you want to follow your call to adventure, head over to jessicadrucker.com/checklist and get your free How to Move Abroad checklist. This is a free 8-page step-by-step resource that I use with my clients. It helps you plot your escape and make the most of your move abroad. That's jessicadrucker.com/checklist. JessicaDrucker.com/checklist. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Adventure Calls. See you next time.